I'm so excited about this. You know how easy it is to take your home videos and turn them into movies? Listen to this. You get an iMac, of course. Get your digital video camera. Hook it up and start iMovie. They've got effects in there now. You can, make it real fast.
Ooh.
Or get slow motion, make it dramatic. Or you can take a piece of music, put it under your footage, and all of a sudden, people are laughing, crying. I don't know, whatever you want. I've got cheesy ideas, but you'll do something creative that'll make you want to go, ooh, let's watch that again and again and again and again.
Here we go.
Hello, and welcome to the CallCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, his hobbies include brushing and powdering his assortment of wigs and telling you why your favorite movies are total shite. I can only be talking about Leander Caney.
Wigs.
Assortment of wigs. Also joining us, one day he'd like to retire and live in the mountains as a hermit. I'm talking about one Mr. Buster Hein. Buster.
Hey, hey.
That's true, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Also with us, he enjoys adjusting his bow tie, crisp white suits, and buckets of delicious fried chicken. Welcome, Mr. Alex E. Heath.
Howdy, howdy.
As he adjusts his bow tie.
Oh, I can totally see him doing it.
We got a great show planned for you guys. We're going to be talking about our new iPad Air 2s. Leander and I have both received ours and have been using them. So we'll be telling you what we think about those. We're also going to be talking about this FTC lawsuit against AT&T for throttling unlimited data users. Alex is very excited to hear me talk about that ad nauseum for at least 40 minutes.
Right.
I'll require total silence during that segment. and we're going to be talking about this absolutely stupid alternate Apple Pay system being developed by retailers who obviously just do not get it. And we'll be wrapping up with an all new faves and raves and faves and raves and faves at the end of the show. So make sure you stick around for that bit. Before we hop into the fun, I want to thank Automattic for supporting this episode. Hey, we've had Automattic support the show before, and they're great. They create this little data port that you plug into your car, and it gives you a window into all the great stuff that your car is saving, all the information about how fast you're accelerating, how often you're braking, and how hard. It'll help you map your routes. It'll help you find your car if you've lost it when you parked it in the city or something. Helps you with fuel-saving tips, and it does a bunch of other cool stuff. You can see it in action. Check out automattic.com/cultcast, and you can save 20% off any order with code CULTCAST at checkout. I want to thank Automattic for supporting this episode. And I also want to thank Swirl for supporting. You know, Swirl has a great app that allows you to print all those great photos that you have stored on your iOS device, on your iPad, on your iPhone, and then you can get them framed really beautifully with all these different color options, with all these different size options. And Buster, I think I was telling you not long ago, I ordered one and I received it.
How's it look?
Oh, sparkly. Delicious. Fantastic. And actually what I decided was, so this time of year, you know, we're getting close to the holidays and it's time to start getting people gifts, right? And what do parents love most from us children? They like pictures of us, don't they? I mean, you guys, your parents, Leander, you love getting pictures of your kids, don't you?
Well, yeah.
He's like, I prefer mental pictures, but sure.
No. But I mean, they're too young to be sending me pictures.
Oh, well, you know, my parents can definitely not say that about me. Yeah. You know, in their older years, they already have everything they need, and they love pictures of their kids, their grandkids. I don't have any of those, but, you know, pictures of your pets. So I decided to give mine to my mom, and she loves it. It's hanging in her house, and it's really super easy to make. You download the Swirl app. That's Sworl, by the way. And within mere moments, you'll have a beautiful framed product ready. They have frames that hang on your wall. They have frames that go on your desk. And it's really easy to do. And if you go to getswirl.com, check it out, create a product, and get something ordered. It's a great gift for everyone that's in your life this time of year. A good last-minute gift, too. I want to thank Swirl for supporting this episode. And the URL is getswirl, sworl.com. Ooh, boy. Let's see here. Where should we start? Oh, let's start with the iPad Air 2s, Leander. Okay. You have yours. You had the iPad Air, and I didn't. So what do you think about the update?
I think it's great. I already think it's an amazing, amazing piece of hardware. Mm-hmm. It's you know, there's all these complaints. It was funny reading the reviews, and you can totally, I guess you can, you know, like, they're all saying there's nothing new, mm-hmm. and because they look like you know, last year's iPads, mm-hmm. and in fact, you know, they have even less features than last year's, because the mute lock button has been removed.
Right, which I actually don't miss at all. I thought I was going to miss it, and I don't even notice that it's not there.
Yeah, right. So I don't miss it at all either. And you know, I mean, mute's easier actually if you just hit the down button, right? The down volume button.
Right. Yeah. I just swipe up and then mute it from there. But
yeah, but I was sort of surprised and a bit depressed by all the reviews, you know, that were saying that no one was really excited about it, and no one really thought it was like really worthy an upgrade. Of course, they all sort of caveat, right? They all say, yeah, it's an amazing piece of hardware, but you know, is it worth an upgrade? Well, if you bought last year's device, you know, no, it's not.
You're right. Everyone talks about how it's the best iPad that's ever been made. And then they get all lukewarm on it.
Yeah, right. But this is like, I think, you know, tech reviews, they get to see so much hardware. They get these things sent to them by Apple. And, you know, so they don't have, you know, the they don't have the sort of same value, I think, as if, you know, if you bought it yourself or even if you just sort of, I think you have to sort of see it in isolation, you know, like see it for what it is without trying to compare it to the previous year's model. Maybe that's unrealistic. I don't know.
I think that's anyway. A good point, though, because what people don't realize is a lot of us people who review tech are jaded, miserable people. Yeah. And we've been around for so long that just, and I'm not speaking about myself, I'm using the royal we. we've just seen it all, right? And you're like, oh, it's another iPad. It's a little thinner. What's next? Yeah. And for the average consumer maybe who doesn't buy or get an iPad every single year, this is going to be a huge upgrade for them.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God. It's such a huge upgrade from, like, the original iPad or the iPad 2, even from the iPad Air. I mean, it's much faster. It's much more capable.
Are you recording from a sorority party?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the neighbors. There's a nail studio across the way.
Are your neighbors in a sorority?
No, there's a nail studio. Shall I go close the door?
No, it's fine. I barely heard it. It was like, oh, my gosh. It just sounded like such a sorority girl.
Yeah.
I love mine. So I was moving up from the iPad mini with Retina screen, and I was a little concerned because one of the reasons I wanted to switch to the mini is because it's such a portable device and I love using it. It's really easy to read on, it's easy to carry around. But the iPad Air 2 is definitely the best iPad I've ever used. I mean, the screen quality, bar none, is the best screen I've ever seen on a mobile device. It's incredible. And I remember reading someone say that when you're interacting with it, it feels like you're actually touching the pixels themselves and moving them around because of the laminated display, which is new to the iPad. And I found that to be very true as well. It's like,
do you find that an advantage? Because I was like, you know, I never noticed that. And I actually had to check it out really carefully. Mm-hmm. I had to look and I go, yeah, right. That, you know, it's true. But then I was kind of like, well, you know, I guess, well, that's great. But, you know, so I never really knew it was a problem.
What is that? What is that? That sounds like such reviewer speak. You can actually touch the pixels. What does that even mean?
It's a magical.
It sounds like something
feeling,
Schiller would say.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, like, I was reading Phil Schiller's review of the iPad. Right. No, it just means that, you know.
I mean, is the screen really that much better? I mean, it's.
Well, I think it's noticeably better, but it's not like when I touch it, I don't, you know, feel special and all warm on the inside, but I definitely noticed that.
But you do.
Well, maybe a little bit. Okay, a lot. Yeah, it's definitely different than my iPad mini screen. My iPad mini with Retina display, you know, those displays were Retina displays, but they weren't of the highest caliber, so the colors felt a little muted. And the new display, the colors look a lot better. And then also, you know, that screen being laminated, I mean, there's just no gap between the glass and the LCD. So it feels more present when you're using it. I hate to say that because Alex is probably shaking his head talking about marketing speak, but that's how it feels to me. So you can go suck it, Alex. And by suck it, I mean an egg. Go suck an egg. That's something that people say in the South, isn't it?
Well, on the older ones, you know, you can sort of see that the icons are below a layer of glass.
Yes, thank you.
And you have to kind of look carefully to see that. But, you know, I thought that it would just make it more immediate and a little more like they've removed all these different barriers, I think, to your usage, to your experience of the device. So like, you know, like if you have a bunch of, I always have a bunch of tabs open in my browser. Mm-hmm. And then if you're trying to switch pages, it's, you know, you got to sit there and wait for it to reload. And even on the iPad Air, the last year's iPad Air, you know, it would take a while for it to reload. Mm-hmm. And it would be kind of frustrating, you know, but that is completely gone now. It's almost instantaneous, even if it does have to reload pages.
It probably has to reload pages for you, Leander, because you have so many tabs open in Safari. But right. For me, like, I rarely see things get reloaded. Like, usually when I switch between apps, you know how sometimes you'll switch and then all of a sudden the app has to reload?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have enough memory to store it. So that's gone.
Right.
Now everything seems much, much snappier.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say, I was... This is going to sound so dumb. It wasn't quite as thin as I was thinking it was going to be.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the iPad mini is already pretty thin. And when I got the Air 2, it felt thin. Don't get me wrong. And it feels great when you're holding it. It feels great. But I wasn't like blown away or anything. I didn't have really? My hair slicked back.
I thought it was like, I was like, how did they do that? It was because it is crazy. It's about as thin as you can get, I imagine.
Oh, I think they could go thinner.
Well, yeah, with like 2 hours of battery life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, just so it feels like you're holding a piece of glass and that's it. That's what I'm waiting for.
It's as thin as the, you know, the 3.5 millimeter jack, the audio jack. I mean.
Is it?
It is.
Except it's 6.1 millimeters thick.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So well, I think the 3.5 millimeters
half right.
Is that radius?
That's the length of the thing, not the diameter.
Yeah, it is very thin. So I don't mean to imply that it's a big chub, but it just wasn't as impressive as I thought it was going to be. But, you know, again, I caveated the whole conversation with most of us are jaded and not easy to impress. So maybe that's kind of, there's some of that going on there. But absolutely, I would recommend it to anyone. I mean, I can't find a single thing about it that I don't like. And I love having the Touch ID on it. Once you get used to Touch ID on your phone, it's kind of hard to not have it.
Right. Yeah.
And having
yeah.
to, you know, like type your password into stuff. Oh my gosh.
So
only plebeians do such things.
Yeah.
So 2014, and we're leaving that. So
did you notice that the Touch ID works in any orientation?
Is it not supposed to?
Well, no, it is. But I hadn't noticed that on my phone because, you know, you always hold your phone in, you know, upright. So. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that. Well, actually, with the iPad, you know, you can put it on upside down. It works just as well.
And so you were using your iPad upside down, and you accidentally made this discovery.
Yeah. Well, I never have the home button's never. It's like, you know, it's never in the same position, right? It's never to the left or to the right.
Huh.
And in fact, I guess I do this wrong. Someone was telling me, they were like, why are you holding it like that? I always hold it in landscape instead of portrait.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone else I know holds it in portrait, right?
That's usually how I hold it, too, because it makes it easier to type on it if you need to type.
Huh, okay.
You should switch to my way, Lander.
Okay, I don't think I will. But
any last thoughts on the iPad Air 2, Lander?
Well, I'd like to see. It's a shame they didn't, you know. Actually, photographs, you know, I really got a kick out of taking photographs with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really used the iPad as a camera, but I'm going to start doing that a lot more.
Really? You have an iPhone 6.
Right. I know. That's almost like an iPad mini. I know, I guess. But you know, it was really a kick. I got, especially when we were doing videos and we did time lapse and.
Uh-huh.
The slow-mo was super fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That having that big, big viewfinder, I think really makes it a lot more fun. It was fun to do.
Yeah, I really like the front-facing camera because that's been improved. I can't say on my iPad mini, I don't think I ever took a picture with it. Not one.
Right.
I mean, you have your iPhone, which the camera, especially on the iPhone 6 Plus, is,
yeah, much
I
better.
Mean, surprisingly good. It's one of those features that when you use it, it's mind-blowing to me, the dynamic range that these cameras have on the iPhone 6. You know, in low-light situations, I mean, things that this phone can do, I've never seen any mobile device be able to do.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Right, or even a point-and-shoot, right?
Even a point-and-shoot, yeah. I had someone telling me recently that they were using their point-and-shoot camera, and the pictures didn't come out as good as the iPhone 6 pictures. And that was kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Because the sensors on the point shoots are, you know, much larger, although that doesn't necessarily mean they're better. In any case, I love my iPad Air 2, but within mere months, I'm sure I'll be totally over it and ready for the iPad Air 3. So keep your eyes on my recycle bin. I'll probably just leave it there when I'm done with it. Should we move on, guys, to the FTC suing AT&T?
Oh, let us have it, Irfan. Let us have it.
This is a big story this week. I'm going to uncharacteristically remain quiet and let Buster explain what's happening here, since he wrote the story on Cultimac. FTC finally, emphasis mine, sues AT&T for throttling unlimited data plans. But so, Buster, what happened this week?
After years of complaints, the FTC has decided it's finally going to look into whether finally going to pursue legal action against AT&T for throttling unlimited data plans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Basically, if you went over your data plan, they were taking it all the way down to 95% of what you had of your old speeds.
So you're saying that if I was using, let's just use this as an example, 100 megabits a second, which is outrageous, you would never get that. They would take you down to 5 megabits per second.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. It's still unlimited though, Buster. I mean,
yeah, exactly. It is unlimited at the lowest possible speed imaginable. I think it's 190 kilobits or 128 kilobits is what it was.
Yeah. So I think the FTC said, and the FTC was working with the FCC, in tandem to gather all this information, that AT&T was illegally capping users' data speeds at 128 kilobits per second, which is basically dial-up internet speed.
Yeah.
And at the same time, still calling that unlimited data. You know, I was thinking, this is like if you went to a buffet, and it's all you can eat, in big, huge words.
Yeah.
And then you go there, and you eat your first plate, and they're like, okay, sir, you can have all you want, but we can only bring you one plate every 3 hours.
Yeah.
You can stay here as long as you want and eat, but one plate every 3 hours, and we close at midnight. And
I love AT&T's reaction to it all. They're just like, oh, we're baffled by it. Why the FTC is, suing us. We don't get it. We told people we're going to throttle them. But I'm pretty sure I have an unlimited plan. And I know I've been throttled before, but I've never received a text message or call or anything like that.
I never understood this. And much to the chagrin of people who talk to me about such things, every time I would see an advertisement advertising unlimited data, I would immediately get in a kerfuffle, right?
Yeah.
Feathers got all fluffed. And I was like, this is such BS. It is not unlimited. They in huge blinking lights, they broadcast. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. And they charge you for that service. And then they cap you essentially at 2.5 gigabytes. What is AT&T 3.2 now? It used to be 2.5. And then they slow down your internet speed to a trickle, so it's basically useless. And then they have the audacity to make this statement about how they were being, forthright, and they were letting people know that they were going to be capping them at a certain, level, and people should have known, even though they were being very duplicit. So they were saying you were going to get one thing, and then in very small print, they were giving you another.
Yeah, their own marketing research team gave them reports saying that it was misleading to customers and that customers hate it and that they should avoid talking about the unlimited thing when possible.
So that was their solution when they did the market research and they found out that people were pissed that they're being advertised or they're being sold on unlimited data, and that indeed when they found out that that wasn't true at all, they were getting angry. AT&T's solution was to be like, oh, just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Here, just lift up this rug. Here, take this little broom and just sweep it under there. I mean, this blows my mind.
I mean, hopefully we're going to get some money out of this. I imagine my paycheck won't be that big, but I'll settle for $30.
Well, after lawyer's fees, you'll get an extra 100 minutes.
Yeah.
You'll need to use within 60 days. And then you'll get a check for $6. And some lawyers probably going to get paid out big. But all joking aside, this is a good thing. I mean, just having this become a public issue, I think, is good because, I mean, we've been moving towards this limited kind of 90s model of all the data is metered. With ISPs and with telecoms, and hopefully this will just bring attention to the issue that people are being screwed, and people will get angry about it, so it won't just be me. Because if enough people get angry about it, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, they may actually do something about this.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, good to see, you know, the government come in and kind of at least do something for it, you know.
Yeah.
It just feels like this was overdue.
Right. Do you guys even have unlimited data plans anymore?
Yeah, I still have mine. I'm holding on to it forever.
But see, you were just saying earlier that you can't tether to it because they give it out.
AT&T's doing everything they can to get everybody onto like the next plans or the other whatever they have.
Yeah, so, the family share.
I mean, the unlimited plans are already dead. You can't get one anymore.
Alex, do you still have unlimited?
No, we switched over. I'm on a family plan that has 10 gigs. So,
booyah.
So we save a lot of money. And then, well, in the long run, and then also going to next, I'm actually saving money because if you stay on the 2-year, then you get that extra add-on fee of like $40 a month or whatever just for being on a 2-year contract.
Oh, yeah, if you sign a contract.
Mm-hmm. Like if you renew a 2-year contract from now on, they'll tack on another $40 a month or something like that because they want you to get off of 2 years so bad.
Right.
You mean they want you just to pay for your phone outright?
Yeah.
No, they want you to do next.
Want everybody to go to the next plan.
Yeah, they want you to do a loaner program because most people won't abuse the program the right way to actually make it work for them, and they'll do what AT&T wants them to do, which is basically pay them for a phone and then give them the phone back to then resell at AT&T's profit.
I'm glad you brought this up. So let's just explain this real fast because I've been asked this question 100 times on Twitter. So if you do the AT&T Next program, if you pay the phone off over 20 months, the phone actually is yours, or depending on how long you have your plan set up for. But what AT&T...
You can pay it off in a month.
You can pay it off right away if you want to. Yeah. But what AT&T wants you to do is trade in your phone after 12 months, in which case you get a new phone, but they keep all the payments that you've made. So you're essentially leasing your phone.
That device, too, so they can resell it as well.
Yeah,
so they're making even more money off of you.
Exactly. So that's when it becomes a total ripoff. So... if you could do what I do and just pay it off right away. I mean, it's kind of expensive.
Or pay it off
or
right
just
before
over
you
a couple
upgrade.
Of months, yeah.
Yeah, or you could do that.
Cuz your payments per it's not like your payments per month don't go towards the full payment of the phone. Like it's not like you're doing invisible payments. Like that'll cut into what you owe at the end of the year. So like if you want to just buy the phone outright, it'll only cost whatever $100, a couple hundred bucks.
Right. So they essentially take the full price of the phone and they split it into equal monthly payments over either 18 months or 20 months. It depends on which you choose. Or I think you can go as high as 24 months.
So basically, you are still paying that whole $200 to $300 idea of getting a new phone, but you're doing it at the tail end of the contract instead of the beginning is how it works. Mm. And they don't want people to realize that, so they'll give them the phone back. But in reality, if you play it the way you should, you'll be paying for... like the first time you switch to Next, you won't pay anything and it'll feel great. But then you'll need to pay to upgrade by buying the phone you have. So it's almost like it's the reverse of getting a phone on a 2-year contract right now is a good way to think about it.
Yeah, it's enough to make you go cross-eyed. And what's funny is if you call AT&T to talk to them about this, it gets even more confusing. I don't even think they know how their plans work. Like every time I talk to them, I get told different things. You have to talk to like a supervisor.
Oh, I mean, me and Lewis were trying to figure out the plans before the iPhone upgrade. And like I stared at them for probably an hour just trying to figure it out, man. And like I think Alex invested like 2 or 3 hours into figuring it out.
Yeah, I've spent several hours. And you know, with AT&T, I was just telling Buster before the call. So I did AT&T Next when I ordered my iPhone. I paid it off immediately, and AT&T is still they're still charging me for the phone. And every time I call them and I explain to them, hey, look, I've already paid this phone off. Why are you still billing me? They have no idea why, and they have so far been unable to stop charging me. So welcome to the world of dealing with AT&T customer service. It can be kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
Expensive.
What's the best thing to it sounds like getting it on the yearly plan, you know, on 12 months, paying it off over 12 months sounds like the best thing to do.
Especially for geeks like us that want to upgrade every year anyway. It really benefits you if you want to upgrade every year.
Another thing is I've heard a lot of people switching over to Sprint and T-Mobile. A lot of people annoyed with AT&T and Verizon and all the upgrading things and going on to the new, like, a device every year plan that Sprint has or T-Mobile's promise to, like, get you out of your contract and pay for all the fees. So I think that a lot of like T-Mobile and Sprint are really benefiting from AT&T's screw up.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's the best thing about AT&T being so horrible is that T-Mobile is getting a lot better.
Yeah. Well, from what I've read is that T-Mobile is great if you're in like San Francisco or a really urban populated area. They tend to have really good coverage in a lot of big cities now, but their coverage out in the boondocks is really bad. So like everywhere around me is pretty much edge. And then there's a couple 3G spots. But
that's the thing about T-Mobile. I mean, if you have it in your city, it's great. Or yeah,
because apparently, I don't know, Leander, I don't know if anyone in the office has it, but apparently it's great in San Francisco. It's actually like the fastest right now out of the.
Oh, it is? I haven't checked it out for a while. I'll have to look into that.
That's what I was told. That's what I read. I was looking into what the carriers offer and what their plans are like. And it seems that T-Mobile is the best option if you're in a big city. So,
Well, before we move on, guys, I want to give a thanks to Automatic for supporting this episode. Did you know there's a mountain full of data inside your car waiting to be unleashed? You like that dramatic reading? And all you have to do is plug in the Automatic link, which is a little dongle, into your car, and you download the Automatic app. And Automatic will help you make sense of all that different information that your car is storing. So with Automatic, they have the smart driving assistant. So it'll help you adjust your driving habits so that you can save on gas. It'll tell you when you're braking too hard or accelerating too fast. It helps you remember where you've parked. So if you're one of those guys that walks out and scratches your head and is like, "Where's my car, Leander?" it'll help you find it.
Every CES.
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, I would say that jokingly, but that's actually true. If your check engine light comes on, Automatic can help you diagnose the problem. And if the problem isn't serious, it'll actually allow you to turn the check engine light off. It can also detect many types of serious crashes and call for help if you need help. And all this is available to you with the Automatic link. As I said, you just plug this guy right into your car. You download the free app. And if you go to automatic.com/cultcast, you'll save 20% off your order. They're normally $100. You'll pay $80. You'll get free shipping. And they also have a 45-day return policy. So if it doesn't work out or you don't like it, you have 45 days to return it. I think it's a fantastic device. I mean, it's one of the only devices that I know of that helps you actually view all the information that your car is storing. And it's kind of cool. It helps you track your routes too. It'll show you on a map where you've gone and where you're going. I think that's a feature that they should add in. Maybe some kind of predictive stuff. Tell you where you'll be tomorrow. Sign me up for that. Anyway, I want to thank Automatic for supporting this episode. If you want to learn more about it, head on over to automatic.com/cultcast. You'll save $20 off your order, which actually is also 20%. So if you're good at math, you know those are the same number.
Yeah, I want one of those. I'm gonna order one myself.
Check it out. Yeah, and if you have a car, think if your car is made after 1998 in the U.S., it works. So it's highly compatible with most vehicles. Let's talk about this war on Apple Pay, which just got my blood boiling this week.
We need an epic soundtrack under this.
I'll add something in. Some kind of really, maybe like the Empire theme from Star Wars.
Yeah.
So let me set the scene. If you don't know how this whole thing started, there were some news reports that came out earlier this week that said CVS and Rite Aid had decided they were not going to support Apple Pay. Well, they weren't an Apple Pay partner. They were going a step further, and they were actually disabling the NFC on their payment terminals because they don't want anyone to be able to use Apple Pay in their stores, which pissed off a bunch of different people because why would you intentionally go in there and turn that off? I mean, who cares if people use Apple Pay, right? I mean, you're not even officially supporting it.
Because they had to.
Well, so that's been the developing story. So Buster, Alex, do one of you guys want to fill us in on the details?
Buster wrote the story.
Buster, go ahead, man. Help us out.
The reason why they don't want to use Apple Pay is because they're part of like a big group of companies that are developing their own mobile wallet solution called Currency.
Yep.
And so they're trying to force all their customers to use Currency if they want to use a mobile wallet. And they say that, you know, they don't have, what were they saying today, Alex? That there's not like a penalty for retailers using Apple Pay, but they are expected to be like exclusively Currency retailers. So it's kind of the company behind it, MCX, is just being really shady about the whole thing and what's going on.
Well, isn't MCX? It's a consortium of companies, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Walmart, Best Buy, Target, tons of companies.
Olive Garden. No, CD yeah. So old, Garden. Old Navy. Oh no, Southwest, Sears,
a bunch of gas stations, and
like really major companies.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's they represent like what over $1 trillion in sales every year. So yeah, it's huge. It's the merchant consumer exchange, and it's Walmart that's leading it up. And Walmart, it's the main reason this whole thing exists is because they hate the credit card companies. Retailers hate credit card companies for the transaction fees that they tack on for fraud protection and because people like their credit cards. And so the whole idea of this is that you enter your debit card in and you bypass the credit cards, and then they also get to track your spending habits from merchant to merchant that supports this currency app. So not only do they cut the fees out, but they get more valuable customer data and have your financial data stored in the cloud, which we know how well that works out.
Yeah.
So it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. They held a press conference with quotes, but they held a press conference today where they didn't let reporters actually ask questions. They had to send them in beforehand, and you weren't allowed to do follow up or anything. And basically, they didn't say anything but that.
this is what's best for customers.
Yeah, this is what's like, best.
Okay, hold up. Let me read you this. This is absolutely comical to me. So Walmart came out in a statement, and one of the things they said was this: what matters is that consumers have a payment option that is widely accepted, secure, and developed with their best interests in mind.
Yeah,
and
it's not the best interests in mind.
I was beside myself. I was like, what a pile of steaming horse crap.
Like this is Apple's marketing ploy, and it's true. It's that Apple Pay was designed with the consumer in mind first, and security in mind, and
which is why it's easy to use. It doesn't transmit your personal information. It stores everything on your local device and not in the cloud.
Right.
I mean, one of the things that the consortium doesn't like is the fact that when you use Apple Pay, your transactional data isn't available to them. They don't know who you are.
Right.
They just get the money.
They can't see their card. They can't see anything, which is great for customers. But they don't get any of the tracking info to see how many times you buy toilet paper and stuff like that, and better sales data.
This guy buys an absurd amount of toilet paper. We need to investigate this.
But
the other side, I think some retailers have pointed out that some customers that getting customer data is actually kind of useful for offering specials deals. Sales and deals and getting people to be return customers
Then there's the rumor that Apple Pay is getting a reward system by the end of the year.
Right, I was going to mention that exactly. Yeah. So that seems to be like the other shoe that hasn't dropped yet, that Apple's actually aware of that. And, because I saw people complain today, like Farhad Manju at the New York Times, he's the reviewer over there, and he was saying, I keep forgetting to use Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. And, I think this is what the biggest problem that Apple has with all app makers, is getting people to use it and getting deals and things like that and getting reminders through iBeacons and through sort of a location awareness when you go into a store that you could use that system is going to be another big part of it. And there were rumors they're going to bring it up to this holiday season, right?
Right.
Yeah. But to say that Apple Pay is hard to use versus a QR code app,
currency uses a QR code.
QR. And
I mean, try explaining that to my mom.
And today the CEO said that they would consider NFC or Bluetooth. Like they're not set on QR, but
I don't think that's the biggest problem about currency. The problem with currency is that they're trying to replace Visa and MasterCard or circumvent them, but they're not offering a solution that's better. They're just making it,
it is. It's better for them.
Yeah, exactly. It's a solution that works around the credit card companies and still gives them everything they want while the consumers get nothing. And so that's what I don't think they understand as a company is that their product is just doomed because it's nothing that what people want.
It's not going to be as eloquent to use. You got to open up this app and show this stupid QR code to someone who scans it. Not to mention the fact that they're tracking your purchases. Not to mention the fact that they're going to be making you give them your social security number, your driver's license number, and you're going to have to link your bank account to this thing. And,
which debit cards have significantly less fraud protection, which is important to point out.
Like if you use a credit card, it's a pretty much guarantee that if you get if a purchase shows up that you didn't make, they refund your money. With a debit card, you do not, unless you use the debit card as a credit card, you do not have that purchase protection. Right. So it has everything to do with all these big retailers not wanting to pay that 2% fee or however much they end up paying to Visa, MasterCard to make more money. and they're doing it at your expense. There's really, besides, Leander, to your point, the reward system that's built into currency, besides that, there's literally not one thing about this program that sounds like it benefits consumers.
And well, it shows how brilliantly Apple has inserted itself into this whole system, because they're acting as this middleman that's actually benefiting everyone. They're benefiting the consumer. The only entity they're not really benefiting is the retailer. But then the trade-offs are that, well, you're not going to get hacked, you know, like Target was.
And you
like
don't Lowe's have is. That credit card information to get stolen anymore.
Exactly. So, I mean, everyone is benefiting from this, and they're really playing to the strengths of the people with the most money, which are the Visas and the MasterCards and the American Expresses. Those are the companies that have all the money. Retailers have very low margins, and they make a lot of money, but they don't have money to blow. And like, you see MasterCard and Visa pimping out Apple Pay at the World Series and in all these ads, and they're throwing all this
Wells Fargo paying people to use Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Like, that's just incredible, you know?
And Apple Pay really benefits the entities in the financial world with the most money, which are the credit card companies, because not only do they get to still see what you pay, but everything's way more secure. So their fraud goes way down. Their possible fraud goes way down. So, I mean, it's brilliant the way Apple has done it. And people love their credit cards, as, you know, Kuka said, so that nothing has to change. You know, you keep your cards. And currency wants you to, like, create. I mean, are people really going to say, oh,
there's
yeah,
not
I really
a chance.
Wanna,
no one,
I really want to make
do this.
Yeah, no way.
There's absolutely, I mean, do you guys have any, is there any sliver of belief that you guys have that makes you think that currency is actually going to take off? I think it's absolutely, it's comical to me. This is like an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah, they would have to completely change it, the product, I think, for it to work really well. I think there's no reason why they can't have registers that support Apple Pay, Google Wallet, currency, you know. So that's one thing that they should do right off the bat, stop pissing customers off.
I would propose that the simplest reason that Apple Pay is going to win is because Apple controls the App Store. I mean, think about it. Currency is on the App Store. Apple could pull that thing at the whiff of a hat.
Yeah, but they could, but you're facing like antitrust.
I don't know.
You're allowed to upload apps to legal issues if they did that.
They wouldn't be, though, because Apple pulls, like, they, you know, like when they, when Siri came out, you know, like they pulled the app, and like they do it all the time for stuff that replicates their own software's functionality.
Yes, like if something duplicates like features that they have already provided, I think they can pull your app.
Yeah, and this whole thing will be over before it even starts, because 2015 will roll around and currency's getting ready to roll out, and Apple will just pull it from the store all of a sudden, and it's like, well, there goes the entire thing, bottom pulled out from you. It's like, it's brilliant. Apple is in a brilliant position because they control the platform that currency relies on to be distributed. So it's like, how
unless
are they
go with a web app, and then boom.
Yeah, but no one's going to use a web app.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah,
for payments,
that's what, yeah, they're in a crappy position.
I think savvy people could figure out a web app, but there's a lot of people out there. I mean, that's the brilliance of Apple Pay. It's just easy.
And yeah, I mean, that's so the thing is Apple Pay, there's not going to be another app that works as well as it, because with Apple Pay, it automatically turns on when you just get near the NFC terminal, whereas currency or any other app, even if they were on the iPhone, you would still have to unlock your phone and then go access it to use it.
So the part that sucks is these retailers that have signed on to be a part of this MCX customer or merchant customer exchange consortium have agreed exclusive access or to exclusively use currency. So that was kind of the argument to why CVS and Rite Aid pulled their support for Apple Pay, because they are legally not allowed to because they entered into this agreement, which just makes them look stupid, quite honestly. Because I'm not going to shop. If I have a chance to go to Rite Aid or CVS or my local pharmacy or my local drugstore, we have a pretty big chain here called Bartels, and they support Apple Pay, no brainer. I'm not going to go to any of those stores. I'll
or
avoid
Walgreens.
Them. Or Walgreens. Thank you.
Yeah, well, but you can't. I mean, I kind of feel bad for these guys because this thing's been like this MCX thing has been in the works for like 3 years.
True.
Like, it's been in stealth
mode. I don't
mode.
Feel bad though, because they just didn't understand what they were trying. They weren't trying to address customers' needs, and I don't feel bad for them at all.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like if they understood, like, okay, we want to circumvent Visa and MasterCard while giving people what they want, they could have made something way better.
How can we make more money off consumers?
I just don't think I don't feel bad
MCX.
If you don't understand like the product that you should have made. It was just a bunch of companies that threw money at a new company and hoped that they would come out with a new mobile wallet that beats Visa, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, Alex.
Well, I'm sorry for showing some empathy, guys.
No empathy for the losers, Alex.
Right. They almost burn.
Although, hey, Buster and I were talking about this morning, but this, like, the whole reader reaction to this whole topic has been, like, vehement. Like,
oh, yeah. You mean, like, people pissed off?
Up in arms.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. I haven't seen people get this, like, uptight about something since, I don't know, early Mac PC days.
Well,
like,
knew what currency was before the weekend? And it just grew, like, you know, over the weekend, it became Apple Pay's biggest competitor. And now it's
like
just...
thousands of people from Reddit have like gone to the App Store and given it a 1-star review. It's got like 3,000 1-star reviews.
Oh, man.
And every story we write about it gets like 80 comments of people just going, yeah, you know, F currency and like all this stuff. And it's amazing.
I think it's because there's a lot of momentum behind Apple Pay. Everyone was really excited about it. We'd been talking about it for a little while and it seems like a really good product. And then you have these drugstores go and be like, yeah, you know, this isn't actually in our benefit, so screw you guys, we're going to turn it off.
Right.
I mean, it seemed like a very spiteful maneuver to go and turn off your NFC support, even though it's something that you don't even have to do anything for. It's just there, and if your customers want to use it, they can. It doesn't hurt you in any way.
Yeah, so, it's too hardball. It's crazy that they're doing that. Especially, you know, Apple Pay, like Tim Cook said the other night at the Wall Street Journal conference, that it's already the world's most popular mobile payment system.
They had a million people sign up in 3 days.
Yeah, let the customers choose, you know, and that's what they're not allowing people to do, which is going to piss people off.
Well, and it's going to affect sales. I mean, not immediately. It's not going to be enough to like crush these companies, these retailers. But like, I was going to go to CVS down by my house and try it. And then it was the day that they decided to turn it off. I'm like, well, I'm not going there anymore. I've got a Walgreens across the street, too.
Yeah, so. They lost that sale of that packet of gum.
Exactly. Well, I was gonna buy a Mountain Dew too. So,
so that's two things, Leander. Yeah,
they lost, it adds like, up.
They lost like 20 cents in profit right there. That's true though. If I see a Walgreens and I see like a Rite Aid, I'm going to Walgreens. No brainer.
And Rite Aids are dirty anyway. Come on, let's be real.
That's kind of how the Walgreens are up here.
Walgreens here are like the rich man's pharmacy.
Oh, right? Yeah, they're not in Seattle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Rite Aids where people get shot.
Okay, so let's move on. Before we do an all new faves and raves and faves and raves and faves and raves, I thought it was worth mentioning because we kind of talked about this in previous shows. It's been formally announced Christian Bale will play the next Steve Jobs in the new Steve Jobs movie. Reactions, Buster.
Dude, I think he'll be great.
Alex.
I think he'll slay it. I think the only better person would have been Daniel Day-Lewis, but I think Christian Bale will slay it.
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis would have been good as well. Leander, it's shite.
Yeah. You know, I can't stand Christian Bale.
Oh, here we go. You got to admit that he looks like it, though.
Make the computer. Where were the other drugs going?
if he doesn't Batman voice, he's going to be unwatchable.
That would actually be great. I would love to see him do the entire movie in Batman voice.
Where are the drugs?
The personality is aligned, though, I think.
They do. They do, very much so.
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty close.
They look alike.
Comically.
They could really look alike.
They look alike.
Prosthetics, hair, and yeah.
And I was reading Aaron Sorkin, who's penning the script, said it was a very difficult role. And coming from him, that probably says a lot. He's written a lot of roles and a lot of good movies and television episodes. And he said it's a very difficult role and they needed a really talented actor to pull it off because he has lines in virtually every scene in the movie.
Well, he talks more than most people talk in like three movies. He said there's just an insane amount of dialogue, which is very Sorkin-ish. I mean, of course, it's going to be that way.
Yeah, but. I think it's going to be great. I mean, it's obviously got a very high bar to make it over to be better than the Jobs movie. Yeah. Oh, so I don't know. I don't know if they can do it.
That's right.
I mean, you got to give it a shot, right? And then just let your cards fall where they may.
See, I think, Christian Bale signing on is just like the biggest endorsement for the movie, I think, so far. You know, as soon as Ashton Kutcher signed up for that Jobs movie, you knew it was going to be a joke.
And it was on so many episodes. Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't quite as horrible as it could have been, although I did watch up.
That's the review right there. That is literally, that's the perfect summation of that movie right there, Leander.
Yeah, it was like a made-for-TV movie. It was way too earnest.
Did any of you guys watch it? I tried to watch the first 10 minutes and just turned it off.
I was sitting in a movie theater So yeah, I
had to sit there. Oh, you did watch it the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I went and saw it in the movie theater. I mean, just talk about a powerful standing ovation when it was over. Now I'm not sure if that was because it was over or if people just really enjoyed the movie.
It felt like for the exits, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
Stampeding.
Or people yakking into their popcorn buckets. It got hairy in there. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap her on up with an all new Faves and Raves and Faves and Raves and
Faves. Faves?
That's it. That's the name of the segment. This is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and vote on which one's best. We haven't done this in a really long time, so I'm happy to bring it back. Does anyone want to be brave and go first? Buster, you said you had some hot stuff.
Oh, I do, but I don't want to like throw down the gauntlet.
I got a pretty good pick you guys this week lose. Too, though. Okay.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Okay. So, Alex, do you want to go first?
No, because I have the best one of all.
Oh, we're all just going to sit here silently until someone breaks.
Someone play their cards, dang it.
Okay, Leander, do you want to go first? We know yours isn't going
to Okay, I'll go first. And it's apropos of the Apple Pay. So I've been looking for a wallet case for my iPhone 6 Plus forever. You know, and these are super tough to get a hold of, right? Because one's really come out with them yet. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah, you found one?
Yeah, so I pre-ordered it, the day I got the iPhone 6 Plus from Pad and Quill, which is a company up in Minneapolis, I think. Huh? Yeah.
They have
and
one?
It's super nice. It's really,
they make
really
great stuff.
It's a beautifully made. They're actually well known for that. They're making those kind of cases out of wood and leather.
Mm-hmm.
For iPads and for MacBooks, and they excuse me. Anyway, so they have this this wallet case, and it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 card slots, which is more than most. Like some of the other wallet cases don't have that many card slots, and you can put your ID in it, and it's really nicely made out of leather. Mm-hmm. It's really sturdy. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's gigantic.
I know, that's the thing about the 6 Plus, right? That's kind of why I wanted to go with a bumper case.
But, you know, I can't live without the wallet case. You know, I got so used to it. And I was carrying around all my cards and stuff in my old book, which is my old wallet case for my iPhone 5.
Uh-huh.
So I had my iPhone and then this separate kind of bulky wallet that was empty. It didn't have a phone in it because, it got a hand-me-down to the kids. So I've been waiting for it forever, and it's kind of bulked up. I'm trying to lose a few cards. I'm hoping this Apple Pay is going to take off real quick so I can lose them all.
That's kind of what I was hoping, too, but I think it's going to be a couple years.
Yeah, the interesting thing about all the new, the iPhones, because of course, the next day we got a couple more some samples from Europe. And the interesting thing is they're all using this new technique now where they have a sticker, so you stick your phone to the case.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the latest trend in wallet cases.
Mm-hmm.
But it works out pretty good. I like it.
How much is it?
$75.
And what was the official title again?
I don't know. Pad and Quill. I'll look it up. But okay. It's made by Pad and Quill.
Okay. Who wants to go next? You guys all want to go last.
They're all so intimidated.
That's fine.
I'll go.
No, I can go.
Oh, I can. Okay.
Okay. No, you go ahead, Buster.
Okay. Mine. I feel like I'm obligated because I wrote a review on this week.
I knew you were gonna pick this.
It's an origami kayak. It's pretty. It's awesome. It's a foldable kayak that fits in your car, and you can take it pretty much anywhere: lakes, oceans, rivers. And it's just kind of like the coolest thing I've used, like outdoors
really?
Gears.
You like it that much?
Oh yeah, like I'm totally jazzed about it. Like it's just really cool. Like everything collapses into a super small. Well, I wouldn't say small, but like a manageable box that you can fit in like your closet or the trunk of your car. And then it takes like 10 minutes to set it up, and you're in the water. I don't know. I've never really kayaked before, but it like opened up like a whole new like way to explore the outdoors for me as an urban dweller with a tiny car. Mm-hmm. So I think it's pretty awesome. Like it's expensive, $1,200.
Whoa.
But if regular kayaks like or foldable collapsible kayaks are usually like 4,000. So it's I think a pretty good value. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a different, like a super like cool way to like get out and do stuff.
You have a Fiat too. So the fact that you're able to fit a kayak in your car is really kind of incredible.
That's a Fiat 500,
It's like magic.
So can you just fold it up into like a little box and then put it in your trunk or something?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do. I could probably fit two, maybe three in the Fiat.
Wow. In the back thing. That's incredible. Well, what is it made out of?
It's made out of like corrugated plastic, you know, like they make political signs out of them. They're like a lot stronger. Uh-huh. They say it's supposed to like last 20,000 folds. So it should last a couple of years at least.
You must go kayaking a lot. Yeah. That's pretty cool. And what was the name of it again, Buster?
Oru Kayak.
The Oru Kayak?
Yeah.
Sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings.
It was on Shark Tank a few months ago.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And it must have won.
Yeah, I think it totally won.
Okay, cool. I'll go next, Alex, and you can go last since you think yours is going to win. So I'm glad that Buster chose something that was kind of expensive because I've been meaning to talk about this item that I've been reviewing for a little while, and I haven't had an opportunity. So I have been reviewing a stand-up desk by a company called UpDesk, and it's called the Upright. That's Write. The Upright stand-up desk. It's phenomenal. I absolutely love it. So the kind of like one of the cool little neat features of this desk is the entire top is a whiteboard. So you can use, you know, dry erase pens or wet erase pens on it and take notes and that type of thing. And, you know, when you're done, you can just, you know, wipe off the entire desk and the notes go away. So it kind of is really handy if you write stuff down a lot. And I don't have a whiteboard up anywhere in my office, so it's really kind of handy just to have it right in front of me. But, you know, actually, aside from that, I think the desk is actually, it's very beautifully designed. It's kind of kidney shaped, so the corners stick out farther than where you sit. So you kind of have a little extra space on the sides, and it's a power desk. So you can press a button and it'll go up, it'll go down, and it has three memory settings. So you can assign the different positions that you have set on the desk to one of these three memory settings. So if you stand up and sit down a lot, you can just type the memory setting to stand up. It lifts up to the exact position that you like to have it at. And then when you're ready to sit back down, you can press the other memory setting and it just works perfectly. Looks really good, which is important to me. Has a ton of space on it, so you can put a lot of your stuff out. The only thing I don't really necessarily love about it is the fact that there's no desk space or, drawer space, which, Buster, I know was a problem with your desk, but, you know, with stand-up desks, that's just kind of the way it goes. And it's $1,100, which sounds like a lot. And it is, for a desk, it is a lot of money. But as far as stand-up desks go, that's actually really reasonable. There are stand-up desks that go to $3,000, which, you know, are built from fancier materials. But I just think this is a great middle-of-the-range stand-up desk. If you want to check it out, it's at myupdesk.com. It's called the Upright. And again, I think it's $1,100, maybe $1,150. They have a couple different sizes, I think. So that's my pick. Alex?
Wow, you guys are cute. Gosh.
What do you got, Alex?
An iPhone case, two $1,200 pieces of gear you'll never use.
Hey. Oh,
I'm just kidding. I love kayaking, and I'm at a standing desk right now.
There you go.
That was a lie. But I'm about to blow all y'all away, so just give me my vote, okay?
Chicken.
My pick of the week is 1989, the new Taylor Swift album. Saying it's gonna be all right.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Writing that down, 1989. Yeah. Well,
phenomenal,
you know what?
Album.
I don't even think we need to vote. I
think we
probably
year.
All agree, right?
Probably gonna win a Grammy. Seriously, I love it. Check it out.
It's very popish.
It's yeah, but like it's like good pop.
I can't tell if you're being serious, Alex. Is this legitimately your pick?
I'm being legitimately serious.
Okay, we're losing Alex. Alex has officially lost it. You guys heard it here as it happened.
Make sure you're playing a song of that under me right now.
I played a song of it last show.
Well, do another one. I recommend New Romantics. It's a great last track. Or I don't know. Not Shake It Off. That one's too cliche right now.
Okay. Is that the one where she raps and says hella?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Hella good hair, actually.
She says hella good hair. Yeah. Yes, thank you. I feel like she might be
listening probably listened to that album 17 times.
A day? Just on repeat?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord Almighty. What is the name of that album again?
1989.
That's
the year she was born. Praise Duke, praise God Almighty.
How much is it on iTunes? $9?
Yeah, so I beat all of you with pricing. Suck it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you pay for what you get.
I know. Taylor Swift. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. I will admit, Alex, she has written some great songs. The work she did on the Hunger Games movie soundtrack with the Civil Wars was actually really good.
Just close your eyes. The sun is going down.
Oh, but, and, yeah, and you're talking about like the Speak Now album too, aren't you?
I've never
16. 16's your jam, isn't it?
I haven't heard it. I should probably go listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah.
Probably. But I will say this, you're incredibly brave for airing that about yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, I should win for being just brave. I mean, that's
yeah. Well, you know what? You get my vote.
Yes.
What do you got, Buster? Who's his best?
Oh my goodness! I'm gonna go with Leander's Case. Just
all right. There you go.
You threw your vote away.
Yeah. Dude, you just voted independent. Yeah.
He didn't. He supported my manhood.
Leander, the thing that we already know is you probably listened to this album too. So just admit it. Vote for Alex's. Let's let him win.
This is this album. I was just reading about it though. They were saying how insipid her awful New York song about New York.
Yeah, that song
New
is
York.
Really bad. That is a really. I don't know why it's on the album. That song almost. Oh God.
Is this the terrible. Same song where she raps? Is this the same one?
That
is one
that
of the worst things I've ever heard. And I'm not even talking about music. It's just audio in general is one of the worst pieces of audio I've ever heard.
The rest of the album is so good. I don't understand why that track is on there. It's really weird.
It's really wacky. And the music video made me uncomfortable.
Oh, well, I love the music video.
It's on YouTube. Leander?
I'm going to go for Buster's. The Kayak.
The Kayak?
Yeah, yeah.
So wait a second. I voted
Although
for
I was intrigued by your desk.
What?
But I'm not voting for Taylor Swift.
So wait, Buster's gets a vote. Alex's gets a vote. And Leander's gets a vote.
Yeah,
so... Irfan, I'm going to vote for yours. It's
really?
A four-way tie.
It's a four-way tie. I don't think we've ever had that happen before. Don't we normally give someone like the deciding
no,
vote?
No, man, it's a tie. This is the way. This is democracy.
I think we should just end it as us having a tie.
Okay.
But in our hearts, we know Alex won the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, to everyone listening, let us know which you think is best on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. I have a feeling it's going to be Alex's.
Duh. All the soccer moms be like, yeah.
Yeah. And we have a lot of those listening to our shows, a lot of soccer moms. So we know that that's going to be a popular choice. And, you know, the Kayak does sound pretty awesome, Buster. You were a close first pick. So I'll put that out there.
Thanks, man.
All righty, guys. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. I want to thank Swirl for supporting this episode. Hey, if you need to get a gift for someone in your life, if you need a quick gift, if you have someone in your family that loves getting photos, get them a Swirl picture. Get the Swirl app at getswirl.com. You'll have a beautiful framed photo product made in no time at all, and you could send it to someone of your choice, and they come beautifully wrapped. So I think they'll really like that for the holidays or for a birthday, you know, whatever. Whatever gift, whatever person you need to get a gift for, that's getswirl.com. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to hang out with us on Twitter, Alex is Alex E. Heath, Buster's BST3R, Leander is L. Caney, I'm at Arifon, and of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how to use in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys. I don't know, whose voice should we do it in this week, Alex?
I wish we had a Taylor Swift soundbite.
Let's just mimic her voice. How about that?
Yeah, okay.
Next time! Was that close?
Wow, I was just in the room here on the podcast. Was that amazing.
Was that close?
No.
Well, you know, I'm kind of hoarse right now. If I had cleared my throat first, it would have been spot on.
What up, shawty?
Sexy B. How you living?
Oh, large and in charge, of course.
I knew that. I knew that.
Cash for days. Hose around me.
Oh, my goodness. I need to move to Arizona.
Oh, it's just lovely right now.
Let's get an apartment together.
Oh, yeah. That would be a dream.
Your girlfriend wouldn't mind, would she?
Nah, she'd be cool. As
long this as, is air fun. He's going to live here now.
No. Three-way cuddling, man.
I call middle. I get cold easy. But seriously, I call it middle.
Okay. You get it. That's all yours.
There's a few things I like more than a big bushy beard brushing against the nape of my neck.
Oh, it'll keep you awake at night.
Am I dreaming or am I awake? I can't tell.
Wake up.